For the fourth and final time this week, hello, good evening, and welcome to In The Know, brought to you by the Racing Post. As Ebor Week gears up for, well, the Ebor on Saturday afternoon, but what a Friday we had. That Bacchio's quite quick, isn't he? Not sure he'll handle York or Soft Ground or yada yada, I only want a handicap, so on and so forth. He absolutely blitzed them in the Nunthorpe, and apparently sprints are lotteries, but if he's in there, then the machine might well be fixed from here on out, because he's very, very fast indeed. Elsewhere, what else did we see today? We saw Michael Dodds win a sprint at York. Again, you think you go through the form book, you think the races are tough, but Dodds winning sprints at York. Andrew Balding winning again with Plage de Havre. And the Lonsdale Cup going to the three horses who had York form. 1, 2, 3, Al Nair, Illinois and Mount Atlas, and Benjamin Hornigold, everyone's favourite pirate, nicking the convivial maiden as well. What more do you want? So we'll be on to Saturday very shortly, of course, with the big race. Joseph O'Brien's got a chance in the Ebor, and Baby Jesus has got a chance in the Baby Ebor as well. It could be an Ebor double. For that man, after taking the convivial today. We've also got Group 1 action. Can notable speech win for Charlie Appleby? Remember him and the City of York tomorrow, or can Lake Forest to make up for last year's very painful defeat in the big race? Painful for me personally, at the very least. He should have won by half the track, and I was all over him like a rash. But we'll have plenty of other options, opinions and angles ahead of the big day as well. It's Ebor Day. Paul Keighley, York has been very good to you this week. Let's hope it continues.
Yeah, no, it's been all right. I've only had three winners at shortish sort of prices, although Plage de Havre today was a way, way bigger price yesterday morning.
Yeah.
I've had a few places. Yeah, it was good. It's been fantastic racing to watch, wasn't it? Baccio is obviously really, really fast. I thought the fourth was a time for Sandals, should have been second at the very, very least. I mean, she basically finished on the bridle.
Yep.
And you know, that was an interesting run. It was good to see old Nair win the Lonsdale Cup.
Yep.
You know, and he's had a couple of goes at it, been placed. Came through and won. And yeah, I was on the train going coming to the office, and I was hoping to be able to watch the race on the platform. And there was a delay when Plage de Havre was running, and I had to sit there and watch it in silence. And I thought it was beat on the line, and the dirty looks I got when I with my one word muttering as they went past the post. You know, I can't tell you what the word was, but the predictive text normally changes the first letter to an A.
Yeah, fair enough. And if you're an uncle, let us know what you think in the other chat. It was pretty good stuff today in particular. I mean, have you ever seen a jockey look behind him with a furlong and a half to go in a 5-furlong race, Tom?
No, I haven't. I mean, he was really good, wasn't he? But how bad are our sprinters? Oh my God, they're a dire bunch, aren't they? It's just, it's a bit depressing, actually, watching all these horses come around. You know, I don't know how good he is. He's obviously very fast, but God, blimey, they're a bad bunch, aren't they? He comes over and he whacks us. Yeah. We've got no good sprinters.
It's he doesn't need to be that good, does he?
He doesn't need to be very good to beat our mob.
No, that is fair enough. Elsewhere, I thought ride of the day went to Ross Orion on Blue Cavoisier, again, partly because of my pocket talking there, but stacked them up and grounded out from the front. And, again, this is the thing. Look, you say that obviously it is tough racing. It's really competitive stuff. But again, William Haggis, Andrew Balding, Michael Dodds winning, you know, a sprint, Wesley Ward winning with a 5-furlong speed ball, Clive Cox winning a 3-year-old handicap, Joseph O'Brien winning with a well-bred, unraced 2-year-old. It's, sort of same trainers, same pedigrees, all that kind of stuff come to the fore at the big meetings.
Yeah, which is why these days, I mean, I don't think the competition, the depth of good horses is not that much. I think a few trainers have the good horses. The rest are scratching around to try and find one or two. You know, your Michael Dodds, he's found one. But otherwise, I think it's as low a standard as we've ever had in terms of the top level. I think it's, and so therefore, that's why I think these big meetings, the bookies are taking a hammering every time, because I think the good horses are just miles ahead of the rest. I think it's really hard to find a to find an outside, you know, like we used to. I think it's really hard.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, that's Silver Lake, who I said in my column after Goodwood, she's better than this mark. She'll go to York. She should go for the Phillies race. It's always a weak race, and she'll win that. And she's gone off, what, 11 to 10 or 11 to 8?
Yeah, 11 to 10 or something.
11 to 10, I mean, and this is the thing, because, yeah, you look at the race, you think, how many horses in here could be genuine, you know, listed, I mean, or group horses, and there's just not many, which is fine.
Yeah, Keels is a bigger market watcher than me, but, you know, they don't get it wrong as often. You know, they used to, I mean, me and Keels have spent our lives trying to find 20, 25 to one shots. They made a mistake with Plage d'Avre today, obviously, but it's only very quick. You've got to be very quick, because by 4 o'clock, it's suddenly 12s. And then by 10, by the time we get hold of it at 6 o'clock, it's about 8. Do you know what I mean? And
so it's what's made it difficult, Tom, obviously, and you know this more than anybody, haven't done price rise for years. They never used to price anything up until they were giving you the prices on a Friday.
The
day before. Now they're all priced up at the 5-day stage for the big meetings, and then they're priced up again after Dex.
Yeah.
And so the market's they've had a full day and more to settle down before you get to look at them.
Yeah,
and I also think, Keels, that the sort of the when people start looking at these races has changed as well. I think people start looking at two or three o'clock on the day before now. That's when you see lots of changes. You know, when I was doing it yesterday, it was a rubbish tip. Marco Polo was 8-1.
Yeah.
Not at 13-8. I wouldn't in a million years.
No, exactly.
Wouldn't tip him at 13-8.
Yeah.
But when he's doing it, when you're looking at it and you're doing it like we are, saying, "Oh, that's a good bet at that price," it's really difficult to get your head round.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? That I'm actually, because we can't take prices because we've got a paper and a website, unlike anyone else. It's really hard to get your head round what's a good price and what isn't these days.
Yeah, fair enough. I promised myself, you know, a few years ago that I wouldn't be one of those people, but I think we all have to be now. The game's gone, Tom. The game's gone.
It hasn't gone. You can still find winners. Of course you can. I mean,
you can. Yeah. It's just changed. I like walking to a shop on the evening before now. I never used to do that.
Maybe that's it. The game's changed.
The game's changed.
And the thing is, I mean, we've had loads of winners on the show. I mean, I had a few winners. I've made a few quid on this week. It's easy to say, but luckily I do this show, so we've given a few winners here, there, and everywhere during the week. But it's actually it tends to be those shoulder races where they haven't actually been knocked into shape that much that sort of suits me better than the actual ones these days.
Yeah, fair enough. A couple of shout out again. We are live and interactive again, so get involved in the chat and like and subscribe if you haven't done so already. PM Races, I wonder if Ross landed the play spot. No, and did anyone? It went from paying about 170 quid after race 5 to paying 20 grand after race 6. Get in touch if you did land the place pot, or if you're sober enough after landing the place pot to let us know. Hello to Mike Boyd, to PM Race, to John Hall, and also to Impassions Green, who says, "Ross, great to meet you at Rotherham Coat Station this morning. Top bloke." It was lovely. We shared a steak bake and a cup of Bovril. And chat about the state of the world. It was lovely. Lovely to see you in Impassions Green after bumping into you in Doncaster a couple of days ago, really on a Yorkshire tour, me and you. I don't know what you're drinking in Pastures Green, but I want some of it. I want some of it. Right, shall we crack on with the big day of the week then? Obviously, we'll go through the Ebor with a fine tooth comb. But again, all the other races are, as you would expect, for a big Saturday at York, very strong indeed. The Strensall Stakes, Damasus is 11-4 favourite. Geryon is 11-2. Persica 13-2. Hankelo 13-2. Saberstrike 10-1. Expanded is 12s. Archivist is 14s with Jonquil, and it is bigger prices the rest. This is a very strong renewal of the Strensall Stakes. Albeit, I want to say, where is Danger Bay? Surely this was Danger Bay's race. Weeks I thought he'd be in this race, but he's not. But what is in this race is a hell of a lot of horses. You've got unexposed three-year-olds. You've got the likes of Damasus dropping down in grade. You've got Persica, who just keeps on performing season after season. You've got, again, Balding horses. You've got Haggis horses. You've got O'Brien horses. But the favourite, Paul Keighley, is a funny one. Come on, let's pop this balloon early.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, I mean, no one would doubt that Damasus is a very, very, very plausible winner, which is why he's clear favourite. But he's trained by John Thady Gosden, and John Gosden you know, tried to make all the excuses going for Ombudsman earlier in the week in the international, but maybe he should have looked closer at home, because how have they been running at York? They have been finishing legless, the vast majority of them. His runners this week, 4th of 6, 4th of 8, 7th of 8, 7th of 16, 14th of 18, 9th of 9, 11th of 13, 14th of 19, beating 20 lengths, 3-1, 5, 6th of 8, 8th of 14.
Yeah, well, even that Lancaster Tower in the Convivial.
Yeah, it stopped.
Just stopped.
You know, it looked like it was going to go clear, didn't it, at one stage, and it just stopped. So, you know, he's had a couple of winners, yes, this, you know, recently, but, you know, 1-3, one of them was.
And 1-6.
And 1-6, another one was, like, you know what I mean? So I don't see how anybody could dream of backing him with how they've run so far this week. We know how quickly things can change in racing, of course, but I wouldn't have him on my mind. Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me, even though he's 11-4 and the next best is 11-2, that he's not even favourite by the off.
There's also the thing that they came out and said, oh, we kind of cocked up his campaign. We tried to make him, we thought we were trying to make him to a mile, we're going to go back up again. Is he that good?
That's well, he might not be, won't he? I mean, and then reaching for cheek pieces just means they're not sure as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's got a form chance, of course, but he is the only penalised runner in the race as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so he's got a bit to find. I mean, there's loads in here you can make a case for. I thought I would take a flyer on a horse making its debut for George Scott, and that is Ridari, who was a pretty good three-year-old, as good as any of these at the age of three, because he was fifth in the French Guineas, beating a length and a half, and snatched up on the post there as well. Sixth, beating a length and a half in the French Derby. Then he won the Prix Daniel Wildenstein on Arc Weekend last year. And, you know, had a lot of fun with bits of cut in the ground, if, you know, even if it's not as soft in France as they often say it is. And then they made this weird decision to send him into America to run on the equivalent of an airport runway. So he hasn't, you know, he hasn't shone in three starts in America, but he's come back over here. He might just be a better suit to European racing. And his best form gives him every chance in this field. And he's a big price, so I thought I'd have a little pop at him. But, you know, you could make a case of any. Hankelow was obviously third in the Guineas earlier on this season. There's a fair bit of pace in this race as well, though. If you'd like to go forward, Point Linus, I'm assuming he'll run, because it won't be far off good by the time they race tomorrow, as long as there's no more rain.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of others I'd like to go forward. So I think it'll suit ones that want to come off the pace. I thought
John Quill
could run well. And Sabre Strike, who we were discussing earlier, but I'll let you give that case.
Yeah, it's another funny one, isn't it? Everyone talked him up, Sabre Strike. Oh, he's a monster after winning at Newmarket. And I thought, yeah, I guess so. I mean, he's beat some fairly average horses. He disappointed at Ascot. But then I watched it back and he kind of looked one pace. He got beat by Kirat here at York. But then I watched it back and again, he's like four or five or six lengths off with a furlong to run. And then he's 2.5. And I think if he'd got another furlong, he might have won. That Goodwood race last time out, he gets outpaced again. But he ran on over seven here. So he's got course. He's run well at the course. He's clearly, you know, I don't know if they thought he just had more speed than he does, because he just keeps finishing his races off strongly and getting outpaced by the horses. And again, it's Haggis. They popped a tongue tie in as well to hopefully try and help him finish his race off. I just came around thinking, you know what? They've gone from thinking this horse is the second coming to him being 10-1 in a wide open Group 3. So I thought Sabre Strike was interesting. And like you said, Hankelow is also very interesting as well, albeit Carlberg. I mean, he almost won the last, but he's had a fairly tough week to a certain extent. But what about your old friend Geryon here, Tom? Are you keeping the faith?
Yeah, I am actually. I think the thing about this race is that there's question marks about absolutely everything, I think, apart from two horses, Geryon and Archivist. I think the other ones have got a big question to answer. I mean, look, Sabre Strike's got tongue tie on, blinkers on. I don't know what's going on with him. He's all over the shop. I agree with you that there's potentials there, and maybe they've got him wrong all since the start. But, you know, he looks a bit of a lummox to me. So he's off my list. Ridari, I get on old form, he's a massive price. Just don't. Aga Khan doesn't sell horses, not Group 1 horses. They must have got rid of him for a reason. Who knows why? Who knows why? If George Scott can get him back, and he is an exceptionally good trainer with these type of horses. Let's not beat around the bush. He's got loads of these type of horses. You know, the horse that not basically roller, the one that won the Hardwick last year. Can't remember its name.
Isle of Jura, yeah.
He did an amazing job with that horse. Absolutely amazing job with that horse. So he could get it back. At the prices, I totally get why people would have a few quid on him, but I thought Geryon was just the obvious one. Now, I could be wrong. He might not be good enough. But all his, well, I think he's definitely good enough. What am I talking about? All his form last year.
Yeah, all his form last year. You've been saying this horse was the best horse to come out of that Goodwood race, and the horse who won that's well fancy for the ledger, so.
Well, yeah, but that was mile and a half. This is a big drop in trip. But when he won the 9 furlong race at Leopardstown the time before, back in third was Isaac Newton, that's won a Group 3 since. If you look back to his 2-year-old form, he was running against all the top horses, all Aidan O'Brien's top Group 1 horses. This could be good if they're all at their best, but they've got so many question marks against your Expandeds, your Hankerloads, your Sabre Strikes, your Jonquils. Do you know what I mean? And so I just thought he's a solid one. I am very scared of Archivist. I have had a few quid each way on Archivist as well. Didn't tip him, but I just thought he just looks the type of horse that is getting better. I was impressed with him at Goodwood. He was... I don't know if he defied the draw stats or not. I don't know whether it was... I think in the end, it was, might have been an advantage being drawn stall 20, given the way everyone else got in each other's way that day. But nonetheless, he won a top handicap off a big weight. And those type of horses never have much to find in these Group 3 races. So I could see him going well, but I'm sticking with Geryon. I think the trip and the ground and everything's right for him. And this time, he'll have... strong pace to run out, which he didn't have last time, which meant he was a bit keen and he was travelling all over everything, wasn't he? But he didn't quite get home. So I'm hoping that Point Liner, since Keel says, goes off really hard and he can finish off his race really strongly.
All right, okay. Yeah, Archivist, I mean, he just got slightly outstayed in the John Smith Cup again, but he's proven himself at the track. But yeah, he's very much a race, Keel's, of... I don't know, of like, I guess we could run in the Strensall Stakes. It's sort of a middling grade. It's a middling trip. There's everything sort of...
huge amount of money, though, really, isn't it? £180,000. Yeah. It's proper money for... Sorry, it's more than that, isn't it? It's £175,000, so it's proper money for a Group 3, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's hence the big field. Mm. But it's a strange setup, isn't it? Mm. If you know what I mean. Mm. So you are going with...
Yeah, I'm going to take a chance on Vidalia. It'll be one of my smallest bets of the day, but I just thought, you know, he is interested in an old form if trainer can get him back.
All right, OK. And sticking with Geryon for you, Tom.
Yeah, I'm scared of Archivist, though. I think he'll run really well.
All right, OK, fair enough. And yeah, like I said, Sabre Strike. I might have a Sabre on Hankelo as well, because I do think he's a potentially... Mm. Again, he's got course form as well, and he's a Group 1 horse, isn't he? He's placed in a Group 1, and he's... significantly down in grade.
Yeah, what worried me, there's plenty of pace pressure for a horse who likes to get on with it. That was just what concerned me.
Yes, fair. Persico remains up on the grounds. We didn't even mention Persico, so CC Baxter. And Expanded has to be of interest with a strong pace guarantee, says JJ Giano. That's that then. On to the Keith Melrose and the second race on Ebor Day. I couldn't resist. Infrared is 11-4 favourite. Limestone is 5-1. Into the Light is 7s. Mythical Bay 10-1. Sharky Boy is 10-1. Vantage Code 11s. Glory Road is 12s. Bay of Stars is 12s. And then it is bigger prices of the rest, including Galilean Quality, who's coming into this on back of a decent win. Probation, who's looking for a hat trick. Tierra del Toro. Oh dear, Paul Keeley. Devil's Peak, My Ballyquin, ENIAC, who's low pay. Baltic Fleet and Steel Raven. But Infrared, who, like I said, I really liked at Goodwood, and he battled on really, really gamely, Tom. And he had an entry in the Voltager, but they had a Group 1 horse to win that. I still think he might be the old Group horse in the handicap. I don't think it's any coincidence that the top three in the betting are the top three in the weights, because I didn't think there was a great deal of strength in depth, which is backing up what we were saying at the start of the show about these top handicaps at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty top-heavy, too. Infrared could easily be the one, but he's another archetypal one of what we were talking about earlier. I think it was 6 or 7 to 1 at 2 o'clock. Now he's 11 to 4, you know, and that makes a big difference. I think he's got a very good chance. I think the trip's gonna suit him well. He was good at Goodwood. He's hit the line hard. Limestone is a group horse in a handicap. We know that because he won the Queen's Vase at Ascot. When Joseph O'Brien did his sort of tour of what he thought Limestone was his best chance of the whole week, and there is not a better trainer of staying horses than Joseph O'Brien anywhere in the world, in my opinion. even, I mean, his dad, obviously, but he gets all those Group 1 horses to run in staying races. But this guy wins Melbourne Cups and everything. Every time I look up, he's winning. He won the staying handicap here, didn't he? Small fry earlier in the week. So Limestone's clearly got a very good chance. I like Into the Light. I don't think there's much between the three of them. I could make a case for all three of them, and I thought Into the Light was the biggest price of the three. And he's on pedigree, he's going to love the step up to a mile and six. He was good at Goodwood last time. He won very easily, and I love the form of his Sandown run when he was second to Lost Boys. We've all seen what Lost Boys has done. It looked to that day like he should have won that day. I think he enjoyed the cheap pieces last time. I think he's going to go really well. If I was to throw one in at a big price, it might be this Bay of Stars for Dermot Weld. What's he coming over for? But I do think one of the top three will win, and I'm hoping it's Into the Light.
All right, Into the Light then. Who is Charlie Appleby's first runner at York this week?
Yeah, I mean, he's been conspicuous by his absence, hasn't he? But he's absolutely flying. He's got a 40% strike rate in the last fortnight, obviously at a lower level, so very easy for big stables to win loads of races at a lower level. So, yep. You know, might not read too much into it, but yeah, they've finally decided to turn up. And yeah, I fancy him as well. I was all over him at Goodwood, obviously, and he did the business there. He's got a superb chance. The damn one over just under 2 miles in bad ground as well. So plenty of stamina on the damn side. Will run well. You can certainly, you know, the race he won at Goodwood was nowhere near as good as the race that Infrared won. But you know, that's why there's a big difference in the prices now. Tom mentioned Bay of Stars. That's the other one that I've actually backed.
Okay.
I think if there is one down the bottom of the weights, it might be him, simply because he's had 2 months off since finishing third at Down Royal, and he was he still looks incredibly green there. And a little bit unlucky. He ran out of a bit of room at time, but he finished it nice and strongly. He's had a couple of months off. The horse that beat him, Mad, Bad and Dangerous, gave weight and a beating to two others that were in here, Sharky Boy and Vantage Code. In fact, he gave absolute chunks to Vantage Code, who's admittedly improved since. And so I just thought he might be the best of the Irish. They're yet to crack this race, but I mean, they win so many other stay races that one day they will. Yeah, Mr. Weld, not coming over here for the good of his health, and he weren't all that bad at training stayers in his pomp, was he?
No, fair enough. And he had a winner last night at Leopardstown as well. The only one I thought was a bit of a daft price was Baltic Fleet for you, Ian Williams again, proper, you know, trainer of these sort of horses.
But really good trainer stayers, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, and they bought this one out of George Bowie's. Finished third over a mile and a half here to Arco Leole. It was on a proper roll that day. He just got badly outpaced in the last couple of furlongs and then ran on again. Finished second to Galilean Quality again, which is fairly solid form. Pulled up at Goodwood, God knows what happened there. But that, I thought that Archer's Bay race at the Sugar Cup was possibly the best race of the meeting there. Mm-hmm. And he was stuck on the inside. He lost his position. And then when he got out in the clear, he came home really, really strongly. And both that and the York run have both suggested a mile and six will be spot on. And the fact that he's already run well around here, and he's 80-1, or it's 40-1 on there, but he's 80-1, 50-1 with another firm as well. I did think that was a bit daft. The only thing is, given the trainer, maybe that price suggests that there's a plan further down the line.
Yeah, could be.
Possibly, but... Yeah, but I do think Infrared will probably win as well. So yeah,
exactly. That's the problem, isn't it?
That is the problem. Yeah, exactly. You look at all these big prices. This might run well, and then you say, "Oh yeah, the horse who's a group horse in a handicap is already kicked 5 lengths clear, Tom."
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the way it goes, isn't it? I mean, you get chances. Don't get me wrong. There's chances, but do you know what I mean? Every time I seem to think that there's a chance, they get done on the nod, don't they? You know, the Alma Cams and the horse in the Yorkshire Oaks.
Yeah.
The photos seem to go the way of the fancied ones as well these days. That never used to happen.
Yes. Game's gone, mate. Game's gone. Yeah, and we are in danger potentially of looking at, you know, the top weight literally is a group. We already know it's a group horse in a handicap. it's won a Group 2 and it's here and it's in a handicap, limited in the shape of limestone. So yeah, clearly a top-heavy market. Let's have a look. Galilean Quality ran really well at Ascot behind Enceladus.
Yes, that was one I was going to mention. Yeah, he ran very well in that handicap at Ascot. He was a very strong finish and then went to Ascot. I think that I don't know if the ground will suit him, but he's a big price on his Ascot run for sure.
Okay. He did. He broke his. He won a novice last year in soft ground at Ponte, so maybe he's versatile. I guess it depends how he runs. If he doesn't, if he gets beat a long way, then he didn't handle the ground afterwards. Otherwise,
that's it. And the other one, Ross, the only other bit of interest that I could find in the race was the owners of Probation.
Yeah,
because it was just it's just unlike them to. I mean, he's a very lowly rated horse, isn't he, Probation? I mean, he was good at Sandown, but the OTI Racing boys, I don't know if they've got horses with Kevin Philippart, the Frenchman. I don't know if they've got horses with him, but they've obviously bought this one. I would presume he's off to Australia at some stage, but that was, you know, they obviously tend to buy ones that, you know, people are touting up as proper horses that can go and win proper races in Australia.
Yeah. Get in touch on the chat if you're on Probation. For the Melrose tomorrow. Right, okay. The Group 1 of the day then. Readily upgraded in recent years to give those poor 7-furlong horses who've been starved of decent races over the years something to cheer about, is the City of York Stakes. Notable Speech. Is he a 7-furlong horse? He's an everything horse, isn't he, to a certain extent? He's the July Cup, for God's sake. 7-2 favourite. Zavateri, 11-2. Lake Forest is 6-1 with 10 Bob Tony. Setono Rev, 10-1. Rogue Diplomat, 12s. Flora Bermuda, 12s. Marvel Man is 16-1. And then it is bigger prices the rest. But a fascinating lineup here. We spent ages saying that the milers are better than the sprinters and whatnot. So the fact that Notable Speech is obviously brings the Group 1 mile form to the table is very interesting. But so does Zavateri, so does 10 Bob Tony. The interesting one, in a sort of negative sense, is I've no idea what to expect from Setono Rev. It's an interesting move to run in this. And I'm sure plenty of people...
Yeah, but the sprinters are rubbish, so he'll finish nowhere.
Well, exactly. Terrible. Well, that is...
Whatever price is, it's a terrible price.
That's kind of what I thought. And then your Rogue Diplomat's coming forward really quickly. Flora Bermuda's got course four. Marvel Man was out of position last time out and represents a team who can barely do any wrong. What did you make of this?
I thought it was an absolute minefield unless Notable Speech is at his best. So I've had a small bet on Notable Speech just in case.
Okay.
Because he is the best horse in the race.
Yeah.
And the ground will probably dry out enough for him. And you know what I mean? It's only stamina that gets him beat at Ascot. What price would he have been if he'd come straight here after Ascot, doing what he did there?
Mm.
You know, it'd be way shorter than 7-2, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He's just, you know, he is the best horse in the race. And, he, you know, I think he might well win. But if there is a time to take a chance on an outsider from the Andrew Baldwin yard, I mean, now is the time, isn't it? Like, you know, because he's just absolutely flying. And Flora of Bermuda has been absolutely flying this season. She won three of her four starts. She got upset in the stalls and was eased before coming off the bridle at Ascot in the Jubilee. So forget that. She proved she stayed 7 furlong last time in a race nowhere near as good as this, it has to be said. But she is 1-2-1 on her last three starts at York. And she was, you know, she was nearly 20-1 earlier on today. She's still 14s, I think, which isn't bad value.
Yeah.
I could make a case already. I thought Rogue Diplomat might have been a little bit unlucky not to beat Lake Forest at Goodwood.
Yeah.
And he's almost twice the price and is obviously very much improving. So I could give him a shot as well.
And how do you feel about... So, obviously, we've talked about, you know, Tom not being very forgiving, for example.
I'm extremely forgiving, mate.
But what about the other way? How do you feel about when you land a touch on a horse? Do you? Because I feel partly like I'm always a bit wary, sort of next time of the time. After sometimes I'm like, but I've got me cash. Do you know what I mean? Out of it. Like, a Rogue Diplomat. Obviously, you had a good.
Rogue Diplomat. Right. Yeah. And I am sentimental to a certain extent, but normally with big handicappers. I mean, obviously he won the Hunt Cup. Obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm not that bad. You know, if Rogue Diplomat keeps running big races at decent prices, then I might end up becoming a bit sentimental. I used to have a few. I used to back Heaven's Guest whenever he ran, just for the sake of it, throw a tenner.
Yeah, yeah.
Accidental Agent. I used to throw a tenner at him every time he ran, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for a bit of fun. But now I'm fine with it, and I haven't backed Rogue Diplomat. I've backed Notable Speech as a saver, and I've had a few quid each way on the floor of Bermuda.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I'm not sentimental, but the only time I've not backed 10 Bob Tony was when he beat the horse I did back at 50-1. But I know you say Notable Speech is the best horse in this race, but 10 Bob Tony's not far off, is he, Tom?
Are you telling me you backed him to win the Queen Anne?
No, I didn't. I'm saying that's the only time I didn't back him. I think since, when was it last year? Was it Haydock last year? Yeah, since he won at Haydock last year, I think I must have backed him nearly every time he's run. He's just a fantastic horse. And every time he gets beat, I think there's a reason for it. He's at Doncaster last year, he was completely the wrong side. Longchamp, he was in a poor position. He always has excuses. And then, yeah, he came and beat my nap of the week at Royal Ascot at 50-1. But he ran an absolute cracker at Goodwood last time. He was on the heels of Bo Echo all the way. And I don't know, arguably better at 7 furlongs, even though his best performance came over a mile. I don't know. I thought he should be clear second favourite, personally.
Yeah, I agree. And totally on form. My problem with this race is that everything wants to be held up by Setono Rev. Literally everything wants to be held up, I think, including Ted Bob Tony, who has transformed himself since being held up out, you know, since being given a chance rather than going forward. So I thought this was a bit of a minefield if you don't fancy Setono Rev to make all, which I don't, because I thought I don't know what was going to happen. Marvel Man was too key. Notable Speech is the ground. It probably just about right for him. It was all right in France on it, but was that really soft ground? Probably not. I didn't know where to start, really. As you all know, I'm a Rogue Diplomat groupie, and I've backed him every time, bar the Hunt Cup, typically. So
our two favourite horses in this, you didn't back when one won at 28-1, and I didn't back when it won at 50-1.
Yeah, exactly. And we're geniuses, aren't we?
Yeah, we're here giving out tips on the on the show. So yeah,
genius. So I found this really tricky. I want Notable Speech to win because I've been a big fan of his. I want Rogue Diplomat to win, really, but I want Notable Speech because I think he's the best horse. I found it really tricky. I thought it was a messy race. Didn't know what was going to happen. Don't know.
Yeah, and you're right. And when we were talking about that race that Kirat won earlier in the year, he went for the front as well. This race last year, I really fancied Lake Forest, and he should have won, but everything got in each other's way, and Never So Brave was already away and gone. It can happen, can't it?
I wondered whether Pabarus might go on.
Yeah.
Back at 7 furlongs. I wondered whether he might be a bit overpriced if that was the case, because I like Ed Bethel. He's always said this was a very good horse, and I thought he did really well to win that group. Beat Marvel Man, didn't he, at Newcastle. I would imagine this has always been his plan since the start of the season. So maybe he'll go back. Maybe change my mind. I like Pabarus, Ross.
Okay, fair enough. Barbarous it is for Fred Bethel and James Doyle. But again, yeah, he could improve, but there are a lot of Group 3 / Group 2 horses here, aren't there? And I guess, we keep talking about Group 1 horses, but there aren't that many in here.
No.
Or certainly proven, I guess. Well, basically, the first five in the betting are all proven in Group 1s, and everything else sort of isn't. To a certain extent, so I don't know. And there's a possibility. Is there a possibility that Life Plan also runs prominently, given he's a sprinter as well? Is it possible that the sprinters set it up for the
possible
the closers?
Yeah, that is possible, but I don't know. Thought it was messy.
Can we have a quick word on Zavateri, who we've only seen twice this year? And while a lot of these might be slowly reaching the end of their tether, he could be doing the opposite.
Yeah, he could be, but. You know, you've got to prove you've really, really trained on as a Group 1 horse, haven't you? He was still beating 4 lengths last time, wasn't he? He's got to come on again for that and in a fair way. And his price, as though you're pretty much expecting him to do so as well, isn't he? It's not like he's, 10, 12 to 1 now, is it? So I think he's got a little bit more to prove than his price suggests he does.
I feel that's what Graham Rodway would call an imposter in the market. Why is he that short? Why does he keep firming up?
Yeah, I mean, he had, you know, he had his 2-year-old form says he probably should be that short.
Yeah.
But he's got to stand it up as a 3-year-old.
Yeah, I guess the question, if I said to you what price would Gustard be in this, for example, you know. On last year's form, he's pretty much the same horse. But anyway, Marvel Manor for the man in form, says Matthew. Life Plan will go forward too, says Rob Dixon. Aidan Kelly says, good shout, Ross! Good shout, Ross, 10 bob and maybe more! So I think Aidan Kelly's on 10 bob Tony as well. Let's have a look. Ground Gone against Notable Speech in Lake Forest is Alex Mansfield. And Flora Bermuda is a cracking bet, says CC Back. Says she'll go on the ground and the stable is in great form. Okay, that's the City of York Stakes then. The Ebor is up next. That feature race of the day, of the week, of the month, you tell me. Love Me Tender is 11-2 at the head of the betting. Emit is 6-1. Class Leader is 6-1. Tarion 7-1. Daiquiri Bay 10-1. Hopewell Rock 10-1. Baylor Bay 11-1. Opportunity 12-1. You've then got the likes of Square Necker, Mr. Hollywood for the Mullins team, Paddy the Squire, Ascending Further, Poetic Sound, and then it's about 33-1 bar those. And I take back everything we were saying about handicaps, Tom. Because, yes, there's been a few that are top-heavy, a few that don't have a lot of strength in depth, but every single horse on that page there, all eight of them, have got at least one piece of blinding form this year that brings them right into it, and that's just the first page. It is a... I put it to you, it's a good lineup for the Ebor, but talk to us about this favourite first.
Well, he's the one that doesn't have any form, Ross. You say he's got good form. I couldn't find it myself.
He's got good connections, hasn't he?
Good connections is why he's favourite. I mean, you know, we have these horses all the time, don't we? You know, it was, what was it, Marco Polo today. It was the Rafe Beckett horse in the handicap earlier in the week. It's doing something totally different than it's ever had to do before. He's never run in a race with less than eight, with more than eight runners. He's never run further than a mile and a quarter. He hasn't run for 300 days. He's never run in Britain. He's never run for Willie Mullins. He's in a handicap for the first time, and you're asking me to back him at favourite. Now, he might have a stone in hand, but that might not mean he wins because he might not be ready for the race. Mm. I don't know. He's not my type of horse at all, Love Me Tender. I think the vibes are that he has, you know, the word on the street, let's put it like that. My men on the street are telling me that he's going to win and that he's one of them. Willie Mullins is next big thing, but I can't back him at 11-2. He's the one on that page that, look, he goes and wins fine. You're all very clever. You've all backed one that because Willie Mullins told you to back it. But for me, I can't see it in what he's done so far. So he's off the list. The rest, as you say, it's a really, really good race. I'm a little bit nervous about giving selections because before we came on, you said I've got this. I've got the Ebor sorted.
I said I'm going to have a good bet on one. I don't think it didn't mean.
So I'm passing it straight back to you, Yogi Bear, to tell us what's going to win the Ebor.
I want to know how many men you've got on the street. That's what I want to know. I'm going to have a proper bet on Paddy the Squire, is what I'm going to have a proper bet on. Ian Jardine has got a really good record in this race. But regardless of that, the horse... Again, how many times over the past few years have we seen a race like the Ebor in particular, oh, this is an exposed four-year-old, this, that and the other, and it goes repeatedly to hurdlers or exposed 6- or 7-year-olds, horses who've been there and done it, because it is a barroom brawl. It is a tough race to win. It is not 1-4. You're unexposed. This is my fourth run on a race course kind of horses. Paddy the Squire is just bomb-proof. He's the best he's ever been this year. He comes off the back of a career best. He's run to RPRs in triple figures on his last five starts. He's got course form. He's finished third when unlucky behind Daiquiri Bay, and he's about, at least twice the price of that. I know he got beaten a long way by Class Leader, but I watched that race back earlier. Class Leader speeded past him. He got outpaced and then plugged on again. And he was closed in the line, which suggests the extra 2 furlongs will suit. And to be fair, Ascot suit that as well. He ran a blinder at Newmarket last time out behind Sporting Silvermine. He ran really well behind the Reverend over this trip at Haydock last year when he was plugging on as well. He's got really good speed figures. The yard are in form. He handles the track. Again, he's peaking at the age of six. Just every time I watch this horse back, I think he's a strong traveller with course form. He's like that horse I backed today, Say What You See. I just know what he's going to do, and what he's going to do is he's going to run his race. And it's just a too big a price for a horse with that profile.
Good. It's a good summary. Yeah, I like him. We all like Paddy the Squire, don't we? What a good horse he's been for Ian Jardine. I'm slightly worried about the track for him. I don't think he's run his best races here, but that's not to say he doesn't like it, because he ran a good race when he was third to Burrito or something like that in a good mile and a quarter handicap 1 year. I'm not sure he ran up to form first time this season, but that was his first run of the season. So, yes, totally get him. He's on the list, as are all those. Daiquiri Bay is definitely on the list. Tarriance has to be on the list after winning the Melrose. Class Leader, what do you make of last time? He's off my list because he was so rubbish at Newmarket last time, but that's because I'm just not the forgiving type. I mean, I'm sure loads of the forgiving type will just go, look at his run like at Newmarket, at York last time, he's the winner. And perfectly possible, but he just never went a yard at Newmarket last time. So I preferred opportunity.
I remember taking him on because all his form was at left-handed flat galloping tracks, though. So he obviously does come back to a left-handed flat galloping track.
I get that. But he was the first beat, wasn't he? He was beaten with 6 furlongs to go. I mean, I always think that's a terrible sign when you're the first beaten in a race when you're 11-8 favourite. But
there we go. He was 10 lengths behind Paddy the Squire, who was 4 times the price.
He was. So I backed Baylor Bay at the when the weights first came out. I think he's got a good chance. Good course form, always hits the line hard. We'll need a strong pace. That's what he's going to get. And I've warmed to Emmett a bit, just on the Joseph O'Brien factor. The fact that he's the only Joseph O'Brien runner. I mean, I was all over Kisley R coming up to the race, which makes me, I don't think he's running here because Love Me Tender is running here because they're the same owners. And I guess they wanted Love Me Tender to get in because they want him to go to the Melbourne Cup. All that sort of stuff is what I'm expecting. But Emmett was second in a group race last year over 1.7 miles on soft ground. He looks just like he's been trained for the race. Joseph O'Brien, as I said a million times, is brilliant at these races. The Chester Cup, the Cesarewitch, the Irish Cesarewitch, the Ascot Stakes, the Small Fry races, the good, glorious Goodwood Staying Handicap. You know, he wins them all.
Yeah.
So I'm more than prepared to give Emmett a role. I think he was 8-1 or something. I thought that was a pretty fair price for a horse that's, I'm just pretty sure, is going to run his race. And Ryan Moore's been booked for the same owners that he rode Enchiladas. But as I say, to make a case, Tarriance has been a horse that I wanted to tip anti-post, but he'd been so bad that I didn't. And then he ran such a good race at Goodwood that he'll be the one that'll really pee me off if he wins.
Yep. Fair enough. Okay. I mean, we've all got at least one in this race, I think. But a couple of things to pick up on there. Joseph O'Brien last night, it was a 1.6 miles, Group 3 at Leopardstown. He had the 1-2 in that as well, just to add to the other thing. And I assume that Enchiladas is a half brother to Burrito as well, as you mentioned there. Obviously, Tom fancies back Baylor Bay when the weights came out. You really fancied him. You must have had a good butt on him.
I've made a right mess of this race altogether. After Baylor Bay's last run, I wrote a piece in my Members Club Wednesday column saying you've got to back this horse for the Ebo.
But you messaged me as well, after Newmarket.
I know. And then after Tarriance ran at Goodwood, I wrote another Members Club column on a Wednesday saying you've got to back Tarriance for the Ebo. And I went searching for my anti-post bets today and couldn't find any. So I'm not actually on all the fancy prices. I think Bella Bay was 25, Tarriance was 16. I still fancied a pair of them. I mean, we'll start with Tarriance. It wasn't so good earlier in the year. It didn't run that badly at York in May. But last time, he just came there absolutely breezing, didn't he? And he was weak in the market that day. He got one love tap with a whip and hands and heels afterwards. I can bet you if he finishes 10th tomorrow, he'll get more than that tomorrow. You know what I mean? It just ran like a horse that wasn't quite ready. It was after a break. This looks like it's been the plan, isn't it? I mean, it's not like it hasn't been the plan for lots of other horses because it's a massive prize money race, but the plans and form are going rather well for Mr. Baldwin this week. So I think he's still got a massive chance. And Baylor Bay, I've watched that race a few times since, and I still don't believe he hasn't won. I mean, Billy Lockland, all he had to do was switch him. It's not like he needs to be buried in behind horses. He's finished out wide to win races loads of times, and if he hadn't have been stuck in behind, he'd have won easily. You know, I'm not sure that was the strongest race in the world, but it was still a good race, and I think he'd have won it easily. And Clifford Lee rides this time because Mr. Lockland's decided to go somewhere else in chase of easier winners for the championship, I believe. But he's rode the horse twice. He's got a York win to his name on him, and a second in the Mallard at Doncaster. So I'm not going to complain about that. He's a good jockey, and I think Bella Bay's got a right chance as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keels, can I ask a question?
Go on.
Can I ask a question? What are you? I mean, I'm not a draw guy at all, but I noticed he was drawn right on the wide outside.
He is drawn right on the outside. I think three of the last four winners were last year, if you remember. They came right across to the stand side mm-hmm. on the Saturday for this race. They sort of ran down the middle for the Melrose that Tarrant's won. Today, a lot of horses have been finishing down the middle on the outside. You know, they were four wide in the maiden. I mean, I know Silver Lake would have won from anywhere, but if the ground was really bad, she wouldn't have won from the where she came at, from where she came if the ground wasn't okay where she came there. And it wouldn't surprise me, that ground has been, you know, it's been on the soft side for a couple of days. It wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, apart from Magical Zoe, funny. It's 21, 24, 20. But you're right. I think there's certain trips, again, like I said, the sprints, one thing. 10 furlongs at York tends to...
You used to definitely have to be drawn low in an Ebor, because everybody used to say that year in, year out. It's not the same these days.
No, it's not. It's not the same.
The only thing I was thinking is that... The going stick says it's slower on the stand sides these days, and I haven't actually seen a horse come up anywhere near the stand side. I wonder, it's debate among...
No, they haven't yet, but I mean, the middle will have got a little bit more cut up. The far side is definitely cut up.
No, but my point is there's a debate among what are the people that look after ground called? Agronomists, or whatever they're saying. Or whatever they're called. I don't know.
I knew what it were, but I don't know. I didn't know what it
was. I don't know. I'm 50. I can't remember my kids' names, let alone what the name is for someone who looks after grass. But they say that sometimes when the ground is drying out, the poach bit dries out quicker than the bit with all the grass on. And I remember one of the jockeys saying that as well, that he always wanted to be on the poach ground because it dries out quicker when it's drying. So whether... anyone's going to want to come up to the stand side, I don't know. That would be my issue. But anyway, Baylor Bay is going to be dropped out, and he can come where he likes because he's going to be dropped out anyway. So it's not really an issue for a horse like that. But just generally for the guys at home, I was wondering what you thought about the draw.
Like I said, there's certain trips where I think, again, 10 furlongs and the sprints, I think they are crucial. Every track round a bend as well, to a certain extent, has certain... The way, you know, where the stalls are has certain things where you run into a bend very quickly or whatever. I don't know, 7 furlongs at Wolverhampton or something. It's like it's worse than the others. But I don't think mile and six should be that bad around here. But we'll see. Just before we get into that, well, actually, after we've got into that, we just got into it. A few more that we should probably have a mention on. Opportunity, of course, scooted up down the inside at Ascot. Mm-hmm. Got done by a crawl last time out. Again, we keep saying group horse in handicap. It's a huge lump of weight, Keels, mind you.
It is a huge lump of weight in a very, very good race, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it is a huge lump of weight, but, you know, he's got, you know, he deserves it, doesn't he?
He does.
You know, but he's got to, you know, he has got to be a proper group horse to win under it.
The other one that, again, we talk about the winners of this race. The last, I reckon if you backed the best hurdler in this race the last 3 years, you'd have won. Ethical Diamond, Absurd, Magical Zoe... Now, there's not as many of those types in it this year, but the best hurdler in this race also happened to be second in last year's renewal, off exactly the same mark, and is trained by Henry de Bromhead, who won it with Magical Zoe, and is 33-1, and that's ascending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Again, he's another one, because people say, well, you know, he's not good enough to win, this and the other, so on and so forth, got beaten last year. But again, surely this has been the plan again, to run him down the handicap and get into this, because...
Yep. Yep, could be a chance. Absolutely. Could be. Talking of hurdlers, Constitution Hill was mentioned for this once, and the horse he thumped
square necker.
His square necker was only 16-1 or 14-1 or so, having won twice easily since. There are others I could see going. I could see Further bouncing back.
Doesn't he need
given the balding firm?
Further?
No, I'm not sure he does.
What about Daiquiri Bay, boys? That horse has got a chance,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, he's got a chance.
Producer Ben has become a nodding dog through the window.
That horse has got a chance. Much improved this season, I think. Was third in the Melrose last season. He's got course form. I think he's drawn in stall one. I think that might be a help tomorrow. That's my feeling. And I just think he's getting better. Pause that refreshes after winning at Ascot. I think he's going to run well too.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. So there's the angles for the field. But let's narrow it down. Main selection, backup selection.
Tarion's Bella Bay.
Tom?
Well, my main selection is Emmett. My backup selection is Bella Bay. And I'm going to have to back Tarion's because I'll be so cross when it wins.
I thought you said you had backed him.
No, I haven't backed Tarion's, no.
Oh, right. Oh, it's you put him. Yeah, you put him. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I'll go Paddy the Squire and Ascending then as that main pick and backup. Daiquiri Bay's been laid out for this, says Matt Jennings, but of course, so have plenty of others. Pure Bullet says, thanks for clearing that race up, lads. Yeah, fair enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, fair enough. But that's the kind of lineup you want to see for the Ebor, isn't it? And also, I think it is worth, I mean, anyone who says, oh, that can't win, it's not true, is it? There is a case to be made for most horses in here. I was going to ask you which horse won't win, but I'm not going to ask that because that's pretty much how it works when they come back and ruin your this can't win angle. Baylor Bay and Daiquiri Bay for Alex Mansfield. Hopewell Rock for Bert and Ernie. And Alex Mansfield says, I can't figure Tarion's out. Travels very strongly, but doesn't find much. Might find more tomorrow, though. That's the other question. And Philip Cadiz says, I got a bit distracted. Have I missed the joke? Oh, Philip, there you go. Of course not. Post Ebor. Tom Siegel.
Oh, no, here we go. I'm going to forget again.
What? What happens to the under-10s football team when the manager doesn't make any changes for 90 minutes?
Well, it's something to do with the sub, but I don't get the other bit.
The subs cry.
The subs cry.
Subs cry.
Oh,
subscribe.
Okay.
Subscribe.
Oh, God, you're
rot. Subscribe.
Dear, oh dear.
Subscribe. Subscribe to the channel. This is why York isn't a 5-day festival.
Did you do it yesterday? I missed yesterday. Did you do it with Rodway?
I did do it yesterday. Do you want to hear yesterday's?
Yes, I do.
What's the difference between the behaviour on the internet of moss and lichen?
Subscribe, but I don't know why.
Moss prefer to comment and lichen subscribe.
Very good.
Okay, right. Subscribe to the channel and let's move on. The Fort York.
And if you're still subscribing after that, go and get your head tested.
Yeah. Let's see how many people unsubscribe. 6 furlongs the distance.
Oh, Mrs. Briley.
The next Dancing the Storm is 3-1. 6-1 Air Force 1, Fire Above Dream 9-1 Red Spells Danger 10s, Evening Saigon 11s and 12-1 Bar. Keels, you're finally getting your wish. Dancing the Storm is running in a sprint.
I'm quite pleased that I hammered her this morning, I must admit. But,
I mean, an hour ago she was 6s.
She wasn't. She'd gone 4-1, 9-2 by then. But yeah. I still think she'll win. I'm not saying she's outrageous value now, but I think as Tom in his column this evening says, the world and his wife have been waiting for her to run at 6 furlongs. I've been waiting all season. It's not an afterthought because she generally just got balloted out of the Stewards' Cup, which may well have been the main aim because her half sister won it 10 years ago, I think it was. And she's just from a long line of horses that are just very good, aren't they? And she, you know, and she's very good. She might end up being the best of them.
Yeah.
She's twice won from, a ridiculously hard position at Chester. Got a proper turn of foot, despite tugging like mad over 7 furlongs. I'm sure 6 furlongs will suit. And if Ashley Murphy gets the gaps, I think she's going to go very, very close. You know, would I fill my boots at 3-1?
Yes, you would. You'd go and buy some Bathsheba boxer shorts for this one.
On my head for this one. Well, you know, so yeah, I hope, you know, I hope she's going to go very, very close. Mm. You know, it's not, you know, it's not a simple race, is it? I mean, we've got most of the best sprint handicaps are represented in here. I think Sondad will run really well.
Yeah, me too.
I think the combination of fast ground and a fast track doesn't suit Sondad. Don't think he minds a bit of quick ground.
Yeah.
He'd certainly be happier if it's lower. And I think this'll suit him very well. And I would just want people to keep an eye out on Hammer to Hammer. I've got a feeling that he's Air Gold Cup bound because he ran an absolute blinder and is already, I think he's £8 lower now than he was then. And he's done nothing on really fast ground this year. He doesn't really want that, even though he had some form on it. Cheek pieces first time. He needs to show a little bit because he's in danger of getting too low in a handicap to run in the Air Gold Cup. So just keep an eye on what he does for a big price. Yeah. A big price.
Okay. Yeah, Kevin Ryan could do with the winner or two as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, Dancing the Storm 3-1. Have you put him up as well, Tom? Her up, sorry.
I'm sort of half regretting it now. She's 3-1.
Well, she's going to go off 7-4 at this rate, I think. But
she could go off any price, couldn't she? Who knows what price she'll be? But look, it's quite amazing actually that she's never run over 6 furlongs in her career, isn't it? And she's 4-year-old now, isn't it? I think, given her family. But she's obviously been doing really well over seven. But she looks like she, you know, I think class horses over seven running back over six is a great angle. I've always loved that anyway, because as I've said all my life that I think Marlers and 7 furlong horses are better than sprinters in this country.
All your life, Tom?
Not all my life, because when I was that young, I probably wasn't thinking too much about these Marling horses reverting to sprinting.
Yeah.
But more interested in my Farley's Rusks, Ross,
absolutely.
At that stage.
Can't beat a Farley's Rusk, can you, quite frankly?
But it's a tricky race, isn't it? It's a sprint handicap at the end of the day. She's in 11. That should be fine. I like Faraway Dream. Air Force 1-1 earlier in the season. Red Spell's Danger is a horse I've got a lot of time for. And I thought Cool Angel was going to run well, but he's in trap 20. And I am worried about those high draws. I don't think anything's been coming. They've been running up the middle. That's fine. But if you can get across in a 20-runner handicap and sort of get behind. But that's not what Cool Angel did last time. He stayed under the stands rail and ran an absolute blinder behind Stratters 9, who will go well again. No doubt about that. Loves York. But I think if Dance in the Storm is as good as most of us think she is, I think she's got a very good chance of winning that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Again, but she got so short. I did think Sondad's two defeats are in races that, like you said, on fast ground haven't suited him. I also worry you slightly that York might be a bit too quick for him, but maybe the rain slowed it down. Again, I mean, I know even in Saigon, I've already got my cash out of him at Goodwood, but this is also, in theory, a perfect track for him, and he's got the box four as well, and he's gone up £4 winning that, but that's not... it's not that much in the grand scheme of things. It's not going to make much of a difference, so I do think Old Friends, even in Saigon and Sondad, might run quite well, but... yeah, there you go. Dancing the Storm 3-1 favourite. The 4:45 is the Julia Graves Rosa Stakes, a 2-year-old listed contest over 5 furlongs, where Adonius heads the betting at 9-4, Dubai Champion 11-2, Dancer Jig is 13-2, Sail Shark is 7s, and El Floridita is 9-1. Adonius then a 9-4 favourite here. Obviously, you can't really say the form got a kicking with Peshawar at all, because it's a very different race entirely, but might have even got a boost with Hell of a Spin back in third, and he was one of those sprinters who were bang on the speed at Goodwood, which just didn't suit all week. And again, he's another one. This track will suit him down to the ground, but he takes a lot out of the betting. Keels, any thoughts?
He does take a lot out of the betting. I think he's got a proper chance, hasn't he? Because, you know, it's not the first piece of form he showed at Goodwood, is it? Like, you know what I mean? He has got plenty of pace. They might cut their own throats again in front, isn't it? Because that young Key Tookie that I backed and... in the 6 furlong race at Goodwood, was that the Richmond?
Yeah.
He went off like a bat out of hell that day, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, you know, he gave himself no chance whatsoever. I think he might have half a chance if he's win with a slightly more restraint down in grade than over 5 furlongs. So I might take a chance on him. It wasn't a race I liked particularly as a bet mean. It was the only race I left out for tipping purposes. I couldn't settle on something that I really wanted to have a bet in. So I sort of sat it out, and I'll probably put the Bathsheba boxers back on and just shout and dance a jig.
Fair enough.
Who did finally show what he's capable of when he managed to get a bit of cover on the rail at Haydock. He'd only a 5-runner race last time. He's another one that races keenly enough and wants a bit of cover.
All right, OK. Again, joining box one, so it'll suit the left-back, Dorigo, I did think. But
that's my one, Ross.
Yeah,
that's my one.
Well, he was right. Again, I just really wanted a Kevin Ryan winner at some point the next week or so, because he looks all over a 5-furlong horse, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's my one. I just think he's a very fast horse that's been running over the wrong trip. He ran an absolute blinder. I'm just watching it again now, actually. Just 5 minutes ago, I watched it again back at Goodwood. It's all over the winner. He did everything right, didn't he? Just got worn down close home over six by a gripper. Ran an absolute blinder in the Windsor Castle on the wrong side. Did a lot of the donkey work, didn't he, over there, and was second home on his side. As I say, 5 furlongs is going to suit him really well. Look, this is he's a maiden running in a listed race. But I like the left back, Tony Dorigo, although, as you say, Kevin Ryan hasn't had a winner this week. And it would be great if he did, though, because he's always been a trainer I like to follow, Kevin.
Yeah, and to be fair, his best runner this week was the second. He would have won the sales race if it wasn't a Group 1 horse in there, to be fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've just been quiet for a while now. But it'll come around. It'll come around. Probably when the more rain comes. And finally, to see out Ebor week, we have the finale handicap, which, again, is 10 furlongs, wide open. And
Ross,
old friends and old enemies here, boys.
Ross and Keels, this always is the best handicap of the week at York, in my opinion.
Yep.
And they never, ever put it on the telly. It's always the last race. Now, I get why they do it, to keep people around. But I think this is an absolute blinder again.
It is. The reason they do it, Tom, is so that you can't tip some.
Well, exactly. 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 What a great race. John Smith's Cup winner, the big eye catcher from Goodwood, the Erzid Jan that won the Newmarket race. You got a credit that's was working the house down at the start of the season, the John Godson. Al Ali that won at Goodwood the other day. What a fantastic race. Really, really looking forward to it. The top two in the market must have massive chances, unfortunately. Rami's only had a few runs, and I thought he did really well to win the John Smith's Cup after looking first. It looked like he was not going anywhere, and then he suddenly took off and still had enough to fight off horses that were coming at him late on. I think he got to the front way too soon there. So he's my number one choice, but obviously everyone saw Diego El Queso at Goodwood when he was drawn on the outside. I think he would have won that day. Ger Lyons, he had a horse run very well in the handicap earlier in yet today at a big price. Hopefully Geryon will run well for him. So I think those are the two to concentrate on. But it's a cracking race. And, it sort of gets lost at York. But I always think this is an absolutely first-rate Cambridgeshire trial. Always is. Really looking forward to it. Hopefully get to see it half on my way back from watching Reading lose to Wimbledon.
Fair enough. Well, that's probably a better betting heat, isn't it? Just back Wimbledon. I worry Diego El Queso was a bit of a Zena Storm. He's a bit of a will run on from the back in anything kind of race. But you're giving him another chance, aren't you?
I'm definitely giving him another chance, yeah, because he was a big eye catcher. I didn't think he got the cleverest of rides, but I mean it was hard to win from where he started off and where he sat for most of the race. So I give him another shot just because he's got that form and from Leopardstown, a nice long straight for him to get going. And he got that here. He was such an eye catcher. I give him one shot. He's short enough now, it has to be said, in what is a very good race. But I have backed him, and I will have my standard small each way bet on Castle Stewart, who is a York horse without any York wins to his name, but he was third. He's still £2 lower than when third in this race last year. He's run four crackers at York since, I think.
Yep.
He was a promoted third. Was it third in in the John Smith Cup? Finished fourth. Salem Dubar, he was the one that was third and fourth. Whatever he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Placed fifth.
Salem Dubar,
he's in there and he's 40-1. I mean, he wasn't beaten far by Rami, was he? He could easily bounce back. He's a big price.
Where's he drawn? Because you just want to get out of his way, wherever it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, he's in fourth.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but no, back to Diego. Of course, I hope. I think there is a fair amount of playing because Damon in last year's winners is in there. He's going to go, isn't he? And a couple of others will. So, hopefully, set it up this time. It'll be a different pace set up from Goodwood, and Diego will come through and beat them.
All right. I'm sticking with Castle Stewart though. I mean, he's a bigger price for this than he was for the John Smith's Cup.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because he ran poorly last time, but he don't really.
But that's just him,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
They obviously just fancied a day out at Ascot. I don't know. Maybe they just love this. Maybe the owners just love the Shergar Cup. I don't know. Whatever it is, but he runs blinders every single time. Barry McHugh at York every single time. Right. One more thing. Let's have a look quickly. On the chat, not a great deal else. Yeah, fair enough. Crack on. Okay, let's wrap it up then. E-ball week. It's been an absolute pleasure. Let's hope that the pleasure continues into Saturday. Because how many festivals can you turn around at the end of Saturday and go, oh, I was doing all right until everything got battered on the last day. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Can we have a nap and your E-ball selection, please, Keels?
Yeah, and a Bathsheba boxer shorts going back on for the nap dance in the storm and Tarrant to the Eagle.
All right, and same to you, Mr. Siegel.
I think the nap is Rami in the last. I think he's the next Sadad or Salal. I think he'll win with plenty in hand. And the Eagle selection is Emmett.
All right, okay. The nap would be, let's go 10 Bob Tony. Let's go 10 Bob Tony. And the E-ball selection is Paddy the Squire. So, yeah, lovely stuff. Right, thanks everyone for watching. Again, please subscribe because you think it's easy to come up with terrible puns? It's not. It's really not. I make it look hard.
It's far easier to come up with terrible tips.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You two have got the easy job. Next time we'll turn it around. Maybe we'll swap seats. But thanks, Tom. Enjoy Saturday.
Yeah, thanks, Ross.
And Mr. Paul Keeley, you too.
Thank you.
And producer Sam, Ben, and everyone else who's helped out with the show. Thank you ever so much. See you next time. Enjoy E-Ball Day.